How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Welcome to the Lakers Lounge. I am Anthony Irwin. It's a super, I honestly, pinch me. I don't know how this came together. We're talking to one of the guys. When you talk about basketball and all that great stuff, when you talk about the highlight stuff, that's how I became a fan. Chris Manning, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you guys doing?
You know, pretty good. Can't complain. You know, yesterday was a pretty good day, I think.
I think it was a pretty awesome day. Yeah, I'd have to say that was one of the more memorable moments of my entire life.
Yes, it was. I forgot to say, we also have Harrison here.
So. Yeah, so Harrison Fagan is also here. And just to be clear, we're recording this on a Thursday. I think you guys will be listening to it Friday morning or sometime after that. And so by yesterday, I meant the Kobe's last game.
So basically, I wanted to just take a brief moment to kind of talk about how this came together. Chris, you found, you know, Silver Screen and Roll. You were once affiliated with Laker Nation, and then, you know, it's just nice to talk about the Lakers. So how'd you find us and all that good stuff? Can you hear us?
So obviously you guys know that I started off kind of making fan videos of the Lakers, and it was always kind of my dream to get my video up on Staples Center, and I kind of had a great opportunity to make somewhat of that happen back in 2011. And, you know, everything I've done in life, whether it was studying in school, being 13 years old and picking up a video editing software and editing Laker videos, it was always that passion for Kobe, the Lakers, basketball. I've been diabetic since I was 8 years old, and now I'm 29. So I've had diabetes, something that I've had to deal with on a constant daily basis. And basketball has kind of always been my outlet. It's allowed me to really step away from some of those things that I have to deal with on a daily basis, and just kind of just completely free me of that. So that being said, I've always followed my passion, which has been the Lakers. I'm a little bit of a Lakers fan, if you haven't heard. I had a really great opportunity in 2011 to join 2K as a social media coordinator. And eventually it evolved into becoming a community manager for my personal favorite video game franchise. You know, I love video games, but it's like NBA 2K is a part of basketball culture. So growing up through the years when I was doing all this stuff, you know, I had buddies over and we're all playing 2K, you know, and then it's kind of surreal to like step in and actually be affiliated with it in an official manner. So just really a blessed opportunity, and I'm really, really happy to be there.
Yeah, I always kind of noticed, just kind of really quickly, I wanted to talk about the video editing aspect of it and that passion there. I'm of the opinion that I think basketball is the most videogenic of all the sports, right? You have golf, which is really, you know, it's really photogenic because of how slow it happens. You know, baseball kind of follows the same thing. I think football is really tough to edit because of how much is going on any given play. Whereas basketball, it's all centralized. You have some of the superhuman athletes doing incredible things. Is that kind of where the passion came from, or you know, would you agree with the premise?
I think to me, I kind of gravitated towards basketball. I played it when I was young. I grew up around it. So to me, basketball was always my favorite sport. Like, my wife knows more about football than I ever will, right? She's like a diehard in all the sports. I don't care, because I want to learn everything about the game. Like, I am an absolute freak. I used to sit and, before the days of YouTube, you know, call people up that had access to old VHS tapes just to watch them. Just to watch them, to learn, read about players. You know, I'm kind of like a student of the game in a very obsessive way. It's almost an OCD thing for me. So, you know, to me, basketball is amazing because you get to really see the emotions of players, and you can relate, right? Like, not everybody may think they're going to grow up to be Shaq size, but everybody can kind of look at somebody like Stephen Curry and look at his body type and go, you know what? I can play like him. I can shoot like him. And that's the amazing thing. Before Stephen Curry, there was Allen Iverson, you know, in the early 2000s, how he kind of transformed the game. It's just it's interesting that you have different people gravitate towards different kinds of players and what inspires them. And I think the fact that you're up close on player faces, we have things like the Mamba face, right? The Kobe face, right? You know, I knew when he hit that shot last night, and we'll get into this. I know we're going to talk about this a little later, but as soon as he hit that first shot after starting off, I think 0 for 4, 0 for 5, it zoomed in on his face. And I turned towards my dad and I go, I've seen that face before. That, you know, that face, I knew what was coming, you know. And that's the great thing about basketball is, like, we can see the emotions on faces, whereas maybe it's a little bit more difficult to see the players emoting in other sports, right?
So you're obviously a fan of basketball, but you mentioned being a Lakers fan. Now, I don't know if that was geographic proximity for you or what exactly drew you to them in the first place, which you can get into in a second. But I did want to ask, you know, just going through your old YouTube archive of the videos that you used to make, I would say probably the majority of them that I looked at were focusing on Kobe Bryant. So you mentioned his face last night. Is that kind of what was it about Kobe that kind of drew you to his game and made you want to create so many videos that they're almost like movie trailers about him?
Yeah, you know, when I was 8, my dad took me to his first game in the Forum, and I have a keychain that was really cool that they handed out there. And it was one of those things that I kind of grew up with Kobe, as weird as that sounds. And for the last 20 years of my life, I've been just a diehard fan. And my dad, luckily I was able to grow up in a sports family, and my dad was able to, you know, take me to these amazing games when I was very young, when I was already a fan. And as I grew up and started understanding more dynamics, more aspects of the game of basketball, it was something about him and the Lakers, and obviously Shaq got there in 96. So I started to see this great high level of basketball, but it wasn't until I was like 11, 12, 13 when Phil Jackson came in. And then it was like a new kind of transformation of being a fan growing up, understanding the game, and then really seeing it develop in terms of like a championship team coming together. And start, you know, winning became like a new kind of thing to me, you know? And so Kobe's just kind of always been there. And it's really interesting to think about how many things can you say you would stop so many things in your life. You would schedule out, like I used to schedule out dates with women. I'd be like, sorry, Laker game Tuesday night. And they're like, this guy's he's a moron. He's psychotic. But it's like, nah, I'm going to go watch my boy. Like, I'm watching Kobe tonight. I'm watching the Lakers, right? And my wife always jokes, because when I met my wife, she's like, well, I used to do the same thing to guys. And I'm like, all right, we have something here. You know,
it's meant to be.
So it was one of those things where, you know, I was constantly always watching him. I wanted to be a journalist. I wanted to write for basketball. I remember being in like the 7th grade and I wanted to write, and I was showing the local newspaper at my small city my writings. I'm like, I want to be a journalist. Let me write basketball. And they're like, who is this kid that's just like, you know, in here trying to write? And it wasn't until I was in between my 8th grade and 9th grade going into high school that I had a family friend who taught video editing at my high school. He said, you know, I think you might like video editing because you really like telling stories. And I was like, yeah, I'd love to like learn it. And I learned the tools, take some Laker footage I have off a VHS tape and make like a really cool video. And then let's put it up online. So I basically took this footage and I put together this video that I thought was really awesome. It's actually terrible in hindsight, but you got to start somewhere, right? And I went in and I edited this thing. And back then, like, understand, this was before the days of YouTube. Like, now it's so easy to share content. And the NBA, fortunately, Adam Silver is so wonderful in terms of like embracing fan content and basketball content. Not a lot of other leagues do that like the NBA does. So props to Adam Silver, props to the NBA for that, because that's some of the best content in the world that the fans are creating. So I uploaded it to this server, and this guy calls my dad and he's like, listen, your 12-year-old son just ran me up a $1,500 bill because I had like, you know, thousands of downloads, you know. And I remember putting it up on places like LakersGround.net. Lakers Lounge was a bulletin board back in the day. And, you know, the internet was kind of a new thing. So it was really fun to kind of, you know, grow my video editing skills. And then it just took what I was passionate about, which was the Lakers. And then obviously Kobe was just such a dynamic player. And I, you know, it was a guy I loved watching him play, the athleticism. You know, people forget what a like ferocious dunker he was back in the day. Yep. You know, the athleticism was off the charts. He was up there with the greats of all time in terms of athleticism. But watching him develop into somebody that was so psychotic about the game of basketball, like that actually related to me, you know, like it wasn't normal. I remember in high school, my friends would be like, "Hey, let's go to this party, man. It's going to be fun." I'm like, "Nah, I want to work on this video. You know, like I got to get this video done. This is going to be awesome. I'm going to turn Karl Malone into the Terminator. Like leave me alone for the night, you know?" And they're like, we don't get it, but okay. You know? So it was funny growing up, 'cause I was always kind of referred to as Mr. Laker, but I just like sharing that passion with everybody else. And I can, and sorry for the long-winded answer, but I can specifically remember being at Game 7, 2000 Western Conference Finals, and being in the building when the Lakers were down 15. All hope was kind of lost. This was before the days of being a cool Laker fan and, you know, people walking out early and celebrities. Like, everybody was wearing the yellow shirts that they handed out, these I Love LA shirts, and it was known as the Lion's Den that game. And when the Lakers made the comeback and Kobe threw the lob to Shaq, the amount of intensity and just the feeling that was in the air, I always told myself, if I could just capture just a fraction of that and somehow share out what I felt that night with people and they can relate to that, then I feel like I could do something for people in a really awesome way. You know, they would feel that passion. And that's kind of how I always viewed every video: Kobe, basketball, Lakers, NBA. It's just always been a huge part of my life and extremely, extremely, I've just been so passionate about the game.
Well, that's a perfect segue, because it was funny. Last night, having written about it and been so close to the team, and then with the frustrations of this current iteration of the Lakers, yes. It's hard not to be frustrated, but I found myself last night cheering like a 12-year-old boy. Like I was screaming in my living room. I'm not gonna lie. I a couple waterworks broke out. You know, especially when they show Lamar Odom, you're just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is going on. My wife was standing there next to me. My dog was even cheering. She had no idea what was going on. And she was like high fiving us. And last night, you know, you grab that. You grab, like you say, the passion that was going on in you know, that arena. That's as close to the three-peat or the titles. One could even argue that that was even more incredible to a certain extent.
I think so. I've been fortunate enough to see like what I call time capsule shit, which is basically moments in time that are going to live on forever in NBA history. The lob to Shaq. I was there for Ori's buzzer beater. I was there when Kobe scored 62 and three quarters. Like, I've been fortunate and blessed and lucky enough to just – because it's one thing to be able to go to a Lakers game or go to a sporting event. It's another thing to see historical moments. And I think that's what's so special about the Warriors right now, that, you know, some Warriors fans are kind of in this like, oh, yeah, it's always going to be this great. It's like, slow down and appreciate greatness, because it's not always going to be this great. But it was amazing to me because I've seen three 60-point games by Kobe. But last night, the feeling was – it wasn't like – fans were cheering for the win or the team. It was just like special. It was like a special bond between that arena and Kobe Bryant. And the thing that was so amazing to me was I always, you know, get up and scream as a fan, but it was like the fourth quarter, I just had tears streaming down the side of my face. You know what I mean? It was like, I was just taking in everything happening. And like, of course I was like on cloud nine, and it was just an amazing, amazing game. But it was also very emotional. You know, it was just an incredibly unique experience being a sports fan that I don't think I will ever feel again. Really hard to explain.
Do you think, I don't know if there's any athlete out there who really resonated with the fan base the way Kobe did and then, well, you know, does right now. I don't know if many athletes out there have that moment last night. And obviously, the 60 points in the last game, like, that was Cinderella says that was too sappy, right? But
So did Jim Buss after the game. Jim Buss stole my line. He said it before I published my post last night. I was like, can I still run with this?
Can I agree with Jim Buss? But no, I don't know how many athletes out there you're going to, you know, I don't know if Michael has that connection, because there was the whole might he leave kind of stuff, and he never really got along with the owner. I don't know if LeBron has that, maybe to a certain extent, but he actually left. Is that a singular thing with Kobe that we saw last night?
I think it's worth noting, right? Legacy is very important, especially to Lakers fans. And sometimes people are like, well, don't get too caught up in the past, or, you know, you hear the criticisms. I think it was Jason Whitlock, which, by the way, Jason Whitlock, completely disagree with your assessment on Kobe Bryant, sir, respectfully speaking. But it is about legacy. And, you know, it's funny to hear the hater side of things, and it's funny to hear the lover side of things. Like, Kobe fans are like one for all for one. Like, that's our boy. And we've been through everything as Kobe fans, as Lakers fans, right? And the ones that are true fans, they'll understand it, man. We've been through some really crazy, unique, odd, difficult, emotional roller coaster rides. And I think the thing that was so crazy about last night was it was a culmination of all those emotions wrapped into one night. You know, like that's it wasn't just another game. And I knew the game was going to be special. Like, as soon as tickets went on sale, as soon as he announced his retirement, I went over and picked up 2 tickets. And I'm like, my dad's taking me to so many Lakers games. There was no question I was going to surprise him with tickets. So at Christmas time, I surprised him. I said, you know, let's hope Kobe's healthy and make it to the end of the season, the end of the final game, because I just feel like it's going to be something special. You know, I didn't think it was going to be a 30-bomb special or a 40-bomb or a 50-bomb. Definitely not a 60-bomb. But my goodness, like, what an amazing night. And the emotions in the arena, like I said, it wasn't excitement because you were winning the game, which we've seen. It wasn't like the playoff intensity excitement. It wasn't the game 7 versus Boston, just like tense moment. It was all that wrapped into one night. And that was something that was like so amazing to me, is feeling that emotion in that arena. It's something I don't think I'll ever be able to really articulate well, you know, and describe it, but that's the best way I can put it. It's all those emotions of a 20-year career of a player that's meant and given everything to one team and wrapped up into one night. And that's kind of what Staples Center was. And for the 20,000 people that were there, I'm sure they'll tell you the same thing. It was unlike anything I've ever experienced.
It was almost like 20,000 people had mainline nostalgia. And like from afar, it looked like some kind of bizarre combination of like the feeling of the last day of school. Like, you know, it's all over after this and there's like something new coming. And like being inducted into a cult, it was almost like people were, it almost came off like worshiping him. And I was just wondering if you, from being there, like, what were you seeing from people in the crowd? What was kind of the feeling in the building, other than just obviously appreciating, like you talked about, Kobe and the kind of storybook ending that he was writing for himself? Like, what was the sense in the crowd? Like, what did it sound like? What were people doing?
It was 20,000 people staring at each other in disbelief. And it was something, it was just something, the way that the game was going, when they went down 9, you know, people were kind of looking around and being like, all right, not, you know, Lakers not playing any defense. Kobe's hitting these amazing shots. He's shooting every time. You know, ironically, he's shooting every time. So it's like every time someone touched the ball, you're like, okay, give it back to Kobe, you know. And I heard like a lot of criticism, oh, 50 shots. But I thought it was really kind of a swan song ending, because he averaged 44.7% in his career shooting. And last night he shot 44%. So it's just one of those things that's like, perfect. It's crazy to think about. And, you know, to me, the way that I saw the arena, again, it was 20,000 people that were like giving him the will to will us to victory. You know, like, we were giving him that energy. It was weird. It was a really weird night, but it was something that I'll never forget. It was just, it was an amazing moment. And to me, it's one of the greatest sports stories ever. You know, I don't even know how to describe it, man. It was crazy. People were crying. People were elated. People were, you know, super pumped. But it was just something special happening. Just after all the injuries the last couple of years and the struggles the last 4 or 5 years, it almost was like all that was filtered into tonight in that performance. And it was just a really memorable moment, I think, in NBA history, you know, sports history, really.
Yeah, the thing that stuck out to me watching, because, you know, I wasn't at the game, but when I was watching on TV and they were showing celebrities on TV, as they do with any game, right? And what they'll do sometimes, or what it always feels like, is celebrities tend to be caricatures of themselves, especially in public arenas like this. And last night, they're showing Jack Nicholson, who is Mr. Joe Cool. He's always wearing his sunglasses. And last night, he's sitting there cheering like like he'd never been to a Laker game before. They showed Kanye West smiled on camera. It was insane.
Yeah, he had his white teeth out. Like, that's when you know you're seeing something, when Kanye West is smiling, right?
I mean, 2K has to get a clip of Kanye smiling. Like, that has to be.
That's got
to
be in the next game.
that has to be a short in one of the things. What I would say is, or my question here is, if you were making a video recap of this, which direction would you take that video recap? Would you, you know, which trailer would you set it up to? How would you go about it? How would you handle those moments?
Well, the one thing that was really funny is I was getting pulled literally in Staples Center. I was trying to, you know, stay low key. I had my hat on. I had, you know, my Kobe jersey on. I was with my dad, but I was getting pulled every time I would go buy a hot dog, or we were just walking around. People were stopping me and, you know, super stoked about the, obviously, the NBA 2K17 Legend Edition cover, but also saying, you know, you can do one last video, like one more video. We need one more video. I do have something in mind. I don't want to necessarily give it away in case I do make it, but I also feel like I've come at peace with, I've accomplished my goals with that stuff. And I feel at peace with never having to do another video. Mm-hmm. But once people start kind of throwing that out there and I start hearing, you know, a lot of the fans want something, you know, we'll see if I can do something, but I am, you know, officially excited about the NBA 2K17 and Kobe partnership and him being on the cover of our Legend Edition. It was something I'm super excited about announcing, obviously, as a Laker fan, personally speaking. I've been playing the series since NBA 2K on Dreamcast. So, but you know, if I do decide to do something, I have something special in mind that has not been done. And I'm talking to another editor who I really respect, who I've never actually worked with before, about, you know, potentially doing a fan video with me. So we'll see. But I got something good in mind. I don't want to give it away. Maybe when we turn the podcast off, I'll talk to you guys about it. But for the fans listening,
wait, we're recording.
Well, what I do, just being, I'm an English major, so I find stupid little angles and stuff. It's almost artistic in that. Kobe is perfectly fine walking away. And after a game like last night, people ask him, are you ready to come back? You can't possibly want to not experience this ever again, right? So for you, it's kind of like Kobe's ready to turn the page. I think I'm about ready to turn the page.
It's feeling that way, right? But at the same time, like, I could go on and make videos during tough times. I did. I remember the 2005-06 season. Or in the years leading up to that, after Shaq departed in 2004-2005 was not a fun season for Lakers fans and something that they weren't completely used to. Times have been more difficult for us Laker fans the last couple of years, for sure. You know, historic losing seasons. But at the same time, you know, it's I like to see how many fans are now creating content. And there are guys doing Kobe tributes and there's just so many like special people out there that are contributing to what I used to do and stuff. So, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting. But I do think about that. You know, I always said I'll stop doing videos when Kobe's, you know, retires. So that's definitely something that I've had conversations about. We'll just have to see.
Well, so yesterday when the video came out, I think you made this other trend. There was the kind of heroes versus haters. Is that what you called the ad campaign? Correct me if I'm wrong. There was that one.
Yep, that was our TV spot. Yep.
Yeah, there was the TV spot with the players. You had Kyrie Irving and Paul George, but then I saw one online that I think you made that was Kobe in 2K throughout the years. Was that yours?
So our content team, you know, our team made it in collaboration, as we all do. But yeah, you know, it was something that we were really excited about doing. The idea, the genesis of the idea was simply like, you know, we know he's on, you know, the Legend Edition. What can we do to kind of pay tribute? And something that makes it so unique to our brand is he's been in every single game. He's been there since the Dreamcast and NBA 2K, 2K1. I know because I probably have played all of them more hours than I'm willing to admit. growing up, you know, probably frustrated by mom and dad a lot growing up and them going, can you get off 2K? You know, and I'm like, nope. Just one more game, or two, or three. But it was cool because not many players can say they've been in every NBA 2K. I think it's like him, Vince Carter, Tim Duncan, and I can't think of – I think there might be one more, but we were discussing this in the office, and it's pretty surreal that he's been over the span of, I want to say, four console generations. That's pretty amazing. You know, 20 years is a long time, especially in the video game industry, so – I just thought it would be cool. So the genesis of the idea was like, let's show Kobe through the years. And that's kind of how it came to be. And definitely a project that I had a lot of fun, you know, working on, because it was just a really fun video and fans seem to be loving it. So that's really cool.
Well, it's something that almost, it makes it how clear how far these systems have come since he came on. Absolutely. Because, you know, when you're a kid, like, it's amazing to think that those first 2K games, especially, you know, no offense to your current employer now, but it's amazing that there was a time when we thought that was lifelike graphics compared to what there is now on, you know, PS4 and Xbox One and the high-powered PCs.
It's crazy, right? Like, it just shows how – and even back then, like, we were looking at the footage on Dreamcast, it's like – the players, you know, Kobe's moving his eyes around the free throw lines, taking deep breaths, you know, he's smiling, he's talking. It's crazy. I've been, from a fan standpoint, I've always played these games and they've been part of that passion journey. You know, I remember in NBA 2K8, I would come home from college and like I was number one on the leaderboards and head to head. And then we got Pau Gasol and I'm like, okay, this is going to make my Lakers a little bit more interesting in NBA 2K8. So like that was like a really memorable year for me as a fan, right? But it's always amazed me at what our development team has been able to do. And I tell them that pretty much every time I, you know, have a discussion with them, they know I'm just a big super fan like everybody else out there. It's just, you know, I have the privilege of being able to provide information for the community. And I'm really happy to do that. It's honestly a dream job for me.
So with the game itself, with the cover itself and everything that kind of went into it, Was there a moment, you know, did the wheel start spinning on that when Kobe announced that he was going to retire? Can you take us behind the scenes there a little bit?
I think it was definitely an interesting angle, and it's something I'll put it this way. It's always interesting to see what fans want, and it was cool seeing fans send, you know, they were saying like, oh, you guys should do it, you know, a Kobe cover. And we never, you know, talk about our cover until we're ready. So it was really interesting to see what the fans were wanting. You know, it was very much aligned with what our plans were. And, I'll say it that way. We were very excited to obviously announce him as our Legend Edition and what you get with that Legend Edition. And to me personally, I love the cover. The wave to me is just so sentimental. Kobe was, of course, on the cover of NBA 2K10 popping his jersey. And that was like ferocious, you know, intensified Kobe Bryant. So it's really cool to kind of have that semblance of a personal send-off, you know. And the interesting thing is I saw so many ads yesterday that were, thank you, Kobe, this is it, we love you. He lives on in our game. It's a completely different story, right? His legends live on is our hashtag. He lives on in our game. You're going to be able to continue playing as Kobe Bryant. And I think that's such a special thing about this brand that's really fun to work on, you know. And fans are obviously ecstatic about it, as am I, because if you haven't seen my tweets when I'm playing, I'm always playing as Kobe and dropping 40, 50 on people and playing team up games. And I take absolute pride in jacking up shots, ladies and gentlemen. That's my style, in case you haven't noticed.
Yeah, that 2K10 cover is iconic. That's actually normally when we film our podcast, that's behind me when we aren't in the same room and I'm filming from my apartment. That game is still up there. I can't say that I dust it off and dust off my 360 and play it a ton these days, but yeah, like, that cover is just amazing.
It is. It's really cool to see a legacy of work, and that's what's so cool about the Kobe video you were talking about earlier. You see Kobe through the years, and then just to, you know, have him as our legend addition. We're just really excited, really, really excited for this announcement.
What's kind of interesting for me is, again, I'm biased because I love basketball so much, but sometimes, you know, when you think about, all right, the NFL is going to have a legends game. Okay, cool. But the current athletes are crazy. You know, if I'm Detroit and I have Megatron, like prime Megatron on my sideline, I'm not going to be like, you know, Lin Swan would be great to have right now. Whereas with basketball, you kind of say, you know, I want to see Kobe go up against, you know, whatever this next generation of superstar is. I want to see Oscar Robertson go up against, you know, and I'm sure Oscar Robertson would like to go up against Steph Curry. Do you feel that same kind of special relationship between basketball and its greats and the desire to want to, you know, match these guys up against each other?
Absolutely. I think that's one of the things that makes the game so unique and so awesome is we have this very large pool of retired players and historical players that you can go up against. You know, the big one right now, it was on ESPN, you know, Coast to Coast recently, 95-96 Bulls versus today's, you know, Warrior team. You could do that in our game. You want to see the 2001 Lakers, my personal favorite historic team in our game, and one of the new ones we added this past year in NBA 2K16. I could take them online and we could go and beat any current day team or maybe go back to the Celtic days and relive that and play some of the better Celtic teams with Bird and those guys. It's really an interesting thing. And one of the coolest things was when Mark Cuban was talking about our brand, he was saying that it's almost a vehicle for education for a lot of these, you know, these younger generations that maybe didn't get a chance to even watch younger Kobe, right? They just saw the last 5 years. These younger fans that definitely didn't see Michael Jordan play or maybe don't have an idea of what Bill Russell was all about or, you know, George Mikan could do, right? You mentioned the Big O, Oscar Robertson. People don't understand how physical of a player he was for his time, right? Or, you know, I could go down the list. Elgin Baylor, right? The true first high flyer in the game. It's cool to see them mix and match. We have a mode called My Team where you basically get cards. And if you pull the card, you get to use them in the mode. And it's really funny. Every single day I have people telling me like, oh, Oscar Robertson, I don't want to use him. That, you know, trash card. And then the next guy will be like, Oscar Robertson, best point guard in the game, right? Or somebody will be like, oh, I don't want to use Kobe. He's a trash card, right? Next guy, he'll be like,
Kobe just tweeted about your game.
He'll be like,
his ears are burning. I saw that scroll through.
Yeah. It's funny. It's like, you know, oh, this player's not good. And then you'll have the next fan be like, what are you talking about? He's like my shooting guard, you know, and you can mix and match everybody that's ever played the game of basketball in our game. And it makes for very interesting debates just in that mode, in that context. I always get a kick out of what our community thinks because there's times where I'm just like, oh my gosh, like you can't be, you're talking about like Wilt that way or, it's funny, but it's great because you can educate. We have all these historic teams and we added, I think nine or more just this past year in NBA 2K16. So adding these great teams just from recently from 2000 to today, we added all those new teams. You get more memories of those guys, right? Like a good example is like the 2000s. A lot of people were hitting me up saying like, oh, I didn't get to watch Tracy McGrady play. What was he like? You know, a lot of people didn't know that he was playing with Vince Carter on that 99-2000 Toronto Raptors team. So, like, we have that historic team in our game, and now all of a sudden it just adds a new element of, like, you're not just playing with the current players, but you get to play with the historic players and the players that you've read about or heard about. But also you can learn what they play like because our developers do such an amazing job of creating them in the game. I mean, we have – like, I'm a nutcase about basketball. You know, talk to our ratings guy who handles all the ratings because, believe it or not, Twitter, I do not handle ratings. That is not what I do. Even though, you know, people think we do that sometimes, but it's cool to hear all the conversation around it, you know, and that's what I think is really special about the game. There's a lot of conversation around the players current and, you know, the historic ones.
So actually we were talking a little bit before the show about the rating stuff. And with Kobe, it's especially interesting, right? Because of the love me or hate me dynamic that is always going to take place with Kobe. All right. The analytics people say
yes.
Kobe is not clutch. Kobe, you know, yes. misses more shots than he takes, and hero ball doesn't work and all that good stuff.
Prior then, to 3 minutes and 23 seconds left in the fourth quarter, Kobe's definitely not clutch because in the span of 10 seconds, these statistics say this.
Right. So with – I would imagine, you know, you get – like you just alluded to, you get the tweets saying – Kobe's great. He's clutch and everything. Yeah. And then, no, Kobe isn't that clutch and all that. So when you get those, aside from just laughing about how, you know, the hilarity of two people feeling so strongly on either side of the totally. Issue, how do you handle that moment? Do you have a favorite response that you kind of go to?
Well, it's funny. So in the Mighty Mode that I was referring to, we have what's called moment cards. And basically moment cards are based on this NBA season. If a player has an amazing moment that stands out in the season, any team will create what's called a moment card. And if you pull that card, it's like specialized. So for example, Kobe dropped 60 last night. We have a 99 card. And this was controversial because Jordan was the only 99 card. So people were like very heavily debating this, right? So we added in the game today. People that get to pull them get to use them. And the interesting thing about that was this was reflective of Kobe last night. So his dunk is a little bit down, you know, his speed a little bit down compared to other versions of Kobe, right? So people get into these very like passionate debates, and that's what I love. I love the debates. I love the conversation. I love hearing about that. That's what I love about our community, is they're very passionate, one side or the other. And trust me, you got Kobe lovers over here, and you got your Kobe haters over here. And it's definitely a fun conversation to take part in, because I have, you know, I interject sometimes, but I let them go. Let people think what they want to think, and let them make their case. Sometimes they're dead wrong. Sometimes, you know, I look at it and I go, that guy knows what he's talking about. He's using some really good, but it's very, it's all great to me because it creates conversation, right? So I love being a part of conversation. I love debates. I love the arguments over basketball. It's one of my favorite things. I sit there and read article after article after article every day. I love, you know, having podcasts on. I listen to tons of podcasts, especially guys that create like YouTube content around NBA 2K. I'm always watching videos. I'm always listening to people, you know, trying to influence what people want to make the game better. And that's my job. But at the same time, I just genuinely love it. Like, that comes back to me being a basketball nutcase. You know, I loved watching all the videos on this card today because I knew it was going to be very controversial. And it was fun listening to those sides of the debate. Some guys were like, well, I don't want to use him because his driving rating is so low and he's so slow. And I'm like, well, hold on a minute. 39-year-old Kobe last night is not the same Kobe that dropped 81, which we have a card in the game as well. That Kobe is an athletic monster, where this one's a little bit slower, but his shooting from last night, a little bit higher, right? So it's like, it's interesting to hear the debates of players, and I think it's what makes like that mode, my team in particular, very fun. And then just having the players on their historic teams is very cool. Like, you play as the younger Kobe, 2001 Kobe plays a lot differently than the current day Kobe, right? So it's always fun to hear those debates on what people like, what they don't like, who they think is great, who they think is quote unquote, you know, garbage. I love that tweet. This guy is garbage. All right. Provide me a tweet. Cause you can't shoot threes with that guy. Cause that guy's not supposed to shoot threes. You know, that guy's a big, you're supposed to play in the post with that guy. And if you use them right, if you use our players right in our game, you're going to have success, much more success than you are than thinking if you put a mixture of 15 guys out there, you could be the Golden State Warriors of today, which I have to say, maybe they're following that play style of these young kids and saying, hey, man, just run and gun, shoot threes all day, and then they get mad when they're missing. You know, it's like one of those things. So you got to learn how to play as the players, and that's where it comes back to, like, the really special thing about NBA 2K to me is that we have all these players, and it's like an educational tool to, like, younger generations that maybe weren't as fortunate to grow up and see some of the things, like, that I've seen or their brothers have seen or their fathers have seen. So it really brings together a really large group of people. And I just think it's, you know, an amazing thing about our game. And I love the conversations that occur on social media.
Well, and then especially with the Warriors, now they set the all-time wins mark last night, but yes. In kind of the lead up to it, a lot of the discussion was centering around, as we touched on before, would they be able to take on the 96 Bulls? And you have, you know, these heated debates between kind of like older people who you older former players, and then you have analysts and you have people on social media that all want to debate these historical matchups. And your game kind of allows people to do that a little bit. Do you feel like your game has kind of fulfilled people's desires to do that or to test out these comparisons or theoretical battles that they have in their mind? Or do you feel like it's almost helped shift the narrative towards those like competitions and those debates?
I think the level of authenticity in our game allows for those debates to happen within our game, right? You see it, you play it, you feel it. And it's so authentic that I think people like, you know, we just did a prediction. We're going to be posted about our season prediction. We had the game sim, who they thought would be MVP, what the playoffs would look like. You know, it had the Warriors going in seven over the Cavs in a rematch. And you start to look at those things, and it's like interesting to see what the game spits out when you do these, when you run these simulations. And there's lots of, you know, fan sites that do it. There's a lot of press that does it. And that's awesome. Like, to me, that's the coolest thing in the world, because yeah, you can't really see the 95-96 Bulls versus today's Warriors unless you're playing our game. Then you can see it happen. Then you could play it. You could be a part of it. You could sit back and watch it. You know, you can change dynamics up if you want to, customize it in any sort of way, change the game speed, change the rules. Go ahead. You know, like it's really cool to see those things happening. And again, it creates that social conversation that I think is so special about the game of basketball. It's something that I've always loved growing up, because, you know, we're Kobe fans, right? Like I said it a little bit earlier, one for all for one. Like, Kobe's our guy. This is the first year where kind of the walls came down and people embraced this guy. But I loved being that guy that was like, you're a Kobe fan? I'm like, hell yeah, I'm a Kobe fan. We've been, you know what I mean? This dude's brought us championships. This dude's brought us rings. Hell of a lot of debates, you know? And it's cool seeing, you know, kind of the embrace from fans all around the league on his, you know, farewell tour. And then just to see what he did last night, it's cool. It's all conversation, man. And it's even last night's performance was almost like the perfect game, because it proves all his, you know, devout fans, they're proven right. Like, Kobe's our guy. But then the haters are proven right too. You know, again, 50 shots. I can't believe it. So narcissistic. You know, I was listening to all the debates on that. But it's like, it's the perfect game, man. And like, me being, you know, such a big Laker and Kobe fan, I loved it. Being in that arena last night, I'll tell you what, Kobe doesn't shoot 50 times, they don't win that game. That's a fact.
You same know? With 81. Without 81, the criticism after 81 was what? He only had two assists or something like that? And one, who is he going to pass to? And two, right, they were losing before he went on that.
Smush needed the rock, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Make something happen.
And I just want to say, there was two things that are not being talked about. Kobe Bryant ended his career on an assist. And number two, yep, the biggest story of last night is everybody got two free tacos. How was this lost in Kobe's 60-point game last night? Come on, Laker Nation. How was this lost?
I blame you. You were there. You could have started the "We Want Tacos" chant. Like, that could have been your thing.
Okay, maybe I was a little bit too busy just being completely, you know, mesmerized by what I was seeing. But it was crazy. And you know, now again, like, you know, now you can get that card in our game and play as that version of Kobe, and it's just cool. Like, you know, we try to be as topical as possible and always try to you know, stay on top of the hot stories in the NBA. And there's so much out there. It just creates some really cool narratives. It creates some really cool scenarios. And, you know, you can only experience those in NBA 2K.
Yeah, so you're going to be obviously prone to a little bit of immediacy bias, because you're still coming down from the high that was being at that game last night. But being such a huge Kobe fan, like you've talked about, where would you rank that, do you think, among moments that you've witnessed or that you've connected with or that you know, in his career?
All right, so I've been fortunate and blessed enough to be at some amazing moments as a Laker fan. My dad had season tickets during the 2000-2001 run. I was there at a bunch of the Pacers home games when they won the championship. You know, I was fortunate growing up to have my dad kind of take me to all these events. So I was actually the one treating him to last night, which was kind of cool. But it was really fun to watch those games. I saw the game four Robert Horry buzzer beater. You know, I missed 81. I gave tickets away. I had them in my hand. My dad just had surgery, actually.
Oh.
It was a week out of surgery. I was like, come on, we're going. You got to get out of the house. And he's like, oh, you know, just not feeling good. It's just the Raptors. I'll never forget that. It's just the Raptors. I said, okay, you're right. We'll go to the next game, right? So I call up my buddy and I'm like, hey, I got two tickets. They're on me. Just, you know, get over to Staples Center because my dad's not feeling well. I'm going to stay here and watch the game with them. Yeah, I still give him a lot of crap for that. But it was good because we've experienced all these moments together. I was there for Kobe's 65-point game against Portland, 62 and three quarters. I saw a myriad of games during the 2005-2006 season when he averaged 35 points per game. I got to see Kobe in his prime a lot, 2003, 2002, just growing up. Last night, I would have to put that up there because it was just such a culmination of all those emotions. Like when you're watching a regular game, you're having like a high, right? It's like you're seeing Kobe go off for 62 points in three quarters. You're like, it's a total elation, but it's different because you have that, you know, you have that basketball high, that you have the adrenaline pumping. You're so into the moment. Then you just can't believe what you saw. Then it becomes like a playoff thing where it's very tense, you know, and it was like Horry's game winner. They were down like, I believe 20, you know, late third quarter, 24 points, I believe, coming back, fighting back. You know, we've all been there, right? Game seven versus Boston. I don't think anybody enjoyed that game on either side. You know, Lakers, obviously, we enjoyed it when that final buzzer went off, but that was one of the most tense games that I've ever witnessed, right? So you have these different levels of kind of like different degrees of emotions on these different kind of scenarios. Last night, it was like all that culminated into one moment, you know, and when he started off 0-for-5, everybody's kind of looking at each other like, all right, it's going to be one of those games, you know, but like he also knew like this is Kobe, man. And when he hit that first shot, I looked over to my dad and I go, he just gave a Kobe face that I haven't seen since 2010 when they were in the finals. Mm-hmm. And that was really cool to see because obviously the game turned out to be, in my opinion, probably my favorite Kobe moment ever because, again, it's such a perfect game for him to end his career on. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, right. Haters got to talk about this. Fans going to talk about this. And you know what's great about that? Forever that 60-point game is going to be such like a point of contention among haters versus players. But it's also cool to see that at the end of the day, it was Kobe's personality in one. You struggle, you fight through the struggle, you will your way to do something amazing, and you come out with a victory. And I think that's just so perfect for his career because we've seen the ups and downs with him and the Lakers and the great teams that he had to play with. And we saw two kind of different generations of Kobe. We had the 8 Kobe and the 24 Kobe, and just that kind of like – perfect symbolism, you know. It's really cool to just you know, kind of wind down to last night and be at that arena. It was unlike anything I've ever experienced before, and I've seen some very, very amazing moments. It was just a culmination of emotions being outpoured, and it was like we were transferring that energy to him, and he was doing something that we will never forget, whether you're a Kobe fan or not.
All right, so we'll go ahead and don't want to take up too much of your time. So I want to go out and wrap up, shift away from Kobe and this current, you know, or I guess now it's crazy to think of Kobe.
Yeah, it's the last generation.
But in terms of these current Lakers, and we don't need to sour the podcast with the state of the Lakers. But yes. when you look at guys like Jordan Clarkson and you look at D'Angelo Russell and you look at Julius Randle, for me, I see some of a little of the star power. There was no way to know that Kobe would become Kobe when he was, you know, when he was 18 years old. But when I see D'Angelo Russell and how he, one of my favorite characteristics of Kobe is his understanding of the moment. And last night, D'Angelo Russell was fully consumed by the moment. He knew what he was watching last night and he took it in, and he was giddy throughout the night. And yep, that makes me pretty excited for what we have in store. Of those three guys, you know, who would be your favorite player to play with on 2K? And where do you think the Lakers go from here?
So that's a tough question. So, you know, I had the opportunity to do an event with Julius Randle a couple of years ago and got to meet him when he was a rookie. You know, Clarkson, D'Angelo, like, shout out to those guys. I think they have a really solid core. But the big question, I think, as a Laker fan is, you know, what if Jim Buss has any pull? This is now the offseason to do it. You have the money to go out and get a free agent. You have the opportunity to potentially have a top three draft pick, fingers crossed. And you have an opportunity to really turn around the franchise. I think people were a little harsh on the Lakers this year. You can't really develop these young guys when Kobe's on his farewell tour, and that's not to blame Kobe, but it's just it's a tough spot to put coaching in, right? You want to run and gun and stuff, but this, you know, Kobe deserves whatever he wants, you know, in terms of like what he's done for this franchise and stuff. And I think next year is going to be the really interesting year for the core. Like, we're going to start to see guys emerge. There's going to be no more, you know, restraints, I think, on their game, at least from a coaching perspective, hopefully. You know, a lot of people were calling for Byron Scott's head, and it's like, what more, honestly, could he have done? I think defensively, it was a disappointing season. I think offensively, they're kind of where they were at, right? So, you know, it's tough. As far as 2K goes, I like my three-point shooters, so I'm hoping that D'Angelo, you know, keeps it going. Clarkson's really impressed me out of the three of those guys. And then Julius, we saw, like, flashes of a really great player in him. You know, I think once he starts to understand the game more and settle down a little bit, sometimes he gets a little bit too crazy and he kind of stops himself in the paint and then he's a little bit indecisive. We've seen that a lot with him this year. I think those guys are going to continue to understand and evolve their games together. And hopefully together they can grow this core and, you know, we can start to truly rebuild now. Cause that's absolutely, if you ever question if the Lakers were rebuilding before, this is now the time to kind of prove, themselves as an organization. And, you know, we've had three really tough years, just back to back to back record, you know, record losing seasons. So, you know, I'm hoping for a turnaround and, you know, it's going to take baby steps. No one's going to touch the Warriors for a while, the way that they're playing. You know, San Antonio's getting older, but they had an historic season that was only eclipsed by an even more historic season by the Warriors. And, you know, you look at the West, you have a lot of great teams out there. You know, the OKC is going to be an interesting team to look at, how they're going to have their makeup of the team in the future with this offseason looming and free agent rumors surrounding Durant, what you know, what Westbrook could do. I hear you like LA Westbrook. We probably like you too. So, you know, there's a lot of interesting factors there. But you look at the West and it's just, you know, the league is just getting tougher. And the interesting thing for me, and I was having this debate today actually at lunch, is what's the DNA of the NBA going to look like for the future successful teams? Because to me, the Warriors are an aberration. Like, I don't think they're the example of, like, the future of the league, because that team is so unique in how deep they are, how well they play together, how in tune they are defensively, and how well they can shoot is definitely a one-of-a-kind team. I just don't think that's the DNA. I don't know what the answer is. You know, luckily, I'm not paid to make that decision. but the people that are hopefully know that and understand that. Hopefully, you know, Mitch can pull out his magic wand once again and you know, start, you know, that rebuilding phase and also getting a free agent here, right? So to answer your question, yes, I like to shoot with D'Angelo in 2K. I like to use my Lakers in head-to-head, and I didn't – you know, I lost a lot when I played head-to-head this year. I know it's shocking, but – It was a rough year, you know.
So hopefully we get back to a place.
Hopefully we get back to another place where, like, you know, I remember kind of struggling but winning, and then we get like a Pau Gasol type of a player, and all of a sudden things change, and you know, you have a little bit of a better team for head to head. No, but in all seriousness, though, you know, as a Laker fan, you have to be patient because the level of greatness that we had as Laker fans over the last 20 years, right? One of those levels, some franchises never even get to once, you know, and we got to experience some of the best all-time epic moments in our franchise's history and our rich history. And to me, that's what was so special about last night is, again, it was a culmination of the last 20 years, you know, and a guy that's been with us, you know, he's kind of been our guy for 20 years. So now that we are, you know, we move on and we look to the future as Laker fans, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with that core. But I think you have to keep them together and you have to kind of unleash them a little bit, you know, and let them run, let the young guys kind of figure it out next season. Next season will be the season to really, I think, evaluate those young guys. And hopefully we get a free agent in the offseason. But even if we got nobody, I'd be excited to just see what these guys can do now and see how they've grown and what they've learned under Kobe the last year, right?
Right. All right. Well, thank you very much. This was a blast. And honestly, we didn't spend nearly enough time talking about actual basketball. So, you know, about this current basketball, it seems like you could talk about that for quite a while too. So we'll have to bring you back on here sometime.
For sure, man. Anytime. It's fun. It's always, you know, I love talking purple and gold, man.
Of course. So keep an eye on the special cover edition of NBA 2K16 is
17.
Out. Holy cow.
17. You still got to wait a while. You can pre-order now, I believe, right?
It's out for pre-order, correct. Right?
Yeah, you can check out facebook.com/NBA2K, twitter.com/NBA2K. I know, shameless plug right there. Sorry, guys. But, you know, we have all the information there. NBA 2K17 Legend Edition features the one and only Kobe Bryant. Hand held high. This is our hashtag Legends Live On, man. It lives on in our game. If you're sad about Kobe, you can continue to play as him in our game.
I'm certainly going to have to put that pre-order in. That's on the to-do list. All right. Well, thank you very much, Chris, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care, guys.
All right. Mamba out.